All right, welcome into the Chase and Big Joe Show live at our favorite place in the world, the beautiful, the elegant, the fantastic Omni Nashville Hotel in downtown Nashville. You walk in this hotel, you feel important. Good morning, everybody. Oh, my goodness. What a fun show we got ahead of you today. Chase McCabe still on assignment. Be back next week. Sitting in the good doctor, Dr. Crane, Ian Safar behind the glass. Dr. Crane, good morning to you.
Good morning to you, Joe. I mean, I feel like I got $20,000 richer walking into this place.
Right? You just feel good. You feel important.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not wearing a golden watch, but I feel like I need one.
Yeah, that's right. All right. Let's not bury the lead. Let's get to what you did last night.
Yeah.
Look, I'm a bandwagon guy. I'll admit it. So I've hopped on the Nashville SC bandwagon.
Yeah, as you should. 15 matches unbeaten last night. They went down early 2-0. And they came back and won 5-2. Just a
5-2 in soccer.
Yeah, 5-2. 7 total goals in the match. Nashville just seemed to be clicking on all cylinders in the second half. And first half was a little different. I think they just had a lot of, you know, mixture between trying to get comfortable. I mean, not a lot of changes to the lineup, but
right.
I think some heavy legs for the most part coming off Saturday's match against Philadelphia here in town. So a big 5-2 win, 15 matches unbeaten. Sam Surge continues his scoring, getting 2 more into the net. I think it's 18 on the season, 16 in the league. And Andy Nahar, another goal
that
contribution.
That guy, you've talked about him for a long time.
Yeah, he is the MLS All-Star for Nashville SC this season, and there is a reason why, because he keeps producing and producing. Through assists, definitely through goals. Last night he had a worldie of a goal, as some may say.
Uh-huh.
It was from way out deep, probably, I don't know, 30 yards out.
Well and, done,
yeah,
okay.
Off a volley, so it was very nice.
Did Hani Mukhtar play last night?
He did. Hani Mukhtar did
you
play
You said he
last
wasn't going to play.
Well, yeah, that's the thing. I wasn't really sure what Nashville SC's lineup would be like. I assumed that it would be very B-squad oriented,
right.
Meaning having like Ahmed Kassem play. Obviously, Johnny Perez was going to play because he got that red card this past weekend.
Right.
So there's no sanction on that.
So for the first time ever on the Chase and Big Joe Show, we have a live soccer guest at 10 o'clock. Who is it?
Eddie Tagseth. He actually played last night, was a big key contributor to the game. So Eddie Tagseth at 10 a.m. with Nashville SC.
Were you screaming at him like, you'll be on our show tomorrow?
Yeah. I will.
Okay. Well done there. All right. So we'll have much more with that going on. It's also a special day because our dear friend, our good friend, the Arena Football Executive of the Year.
Wow.
Is with us today, one Greg Poe. Greg, good morning.
Joseph, how are you?
I'm
impressed with your soccer knowledge. It just oozes from you.
You know I love soccer.
Yeah.
So this is Dr. Crane.
I know who he is.
Greg Poe.
Right yes.
We've
it's
met
amazing.
Before. Greg, good to see you
good
again.
Good to see you, everybody.
How are you doing?
I'm decompressed. I'm relaxed.
Well, welcome in. Now, you know the Omni well, right?
Yeah. I mean, I think you and I did something down here back in the day before.
For
here.
Many years.
This is Todd Rodermel and the Omni, I'm proud to say, their very first radio client was me,
yeah.
Or vice versa, in
right.
The marketplace. And you know, and this used to be a parking lot, right?
Remember, it did be a parking
right
lot.
Over here where the Music City Center is?
Yep.
If you want to go to the basketball games at the SEC tournament, you park where the Music City Center
right.
is, right?
That's exactly
yeah.
right.
Crazy.
Well done. We do a segment every day. I'm glad you're here.
Well,
Ian, get
you.
Ready. We're going to do so. We count down to college football. So, Ian, hit it.
It's the final countdown.
So, Greg Pogue, we are 44 days out from the start of college football. 44 days out. So, in honor of that, we ask you, who's your favorite all-time number 44? And number 44 might be the most important number in sports. One
wow.
of. Because of who's on the list. Who's in the Hall of Fames. Everything else.
I'm going to – Dan Issel.
He was 44?
I think he was 44. Hall of Famer, of course, the Nuggets, Kentucky, Dan Issel. I don't know why that came to my mind.
That's excellent. Dr. Crane, who's your 44?
Probably Hank Aaron. Or as I was telling Joe earlier, Ty Chandler wore 44 at NBA, and I remember that vividly because he shoved my head in the ground and went for 65. So that's something to remember for
that's
sure.
That's always good to do
yeah.
that.
Who were you playing for?
I played for Father Ryan.
Yeah. We got a Catholic year. On the show.
That's cool.
Yep.
You know, I mean, Catholic, Protestant, and not at all.
What? I 44, you know, Reggie Jackson is yep. a 44. Jim Brown was 44 at Syracuse. Ernie Davis was 44, I think, at Syracuse as well. But, I mean, like John Riggins.
Yeah.
I mean, you think John Riggins playing in the NFL today would never make it. 6 foot, 220, runs a 40, like 5'7". He would never make
it. Or like Larry Zonka. The same kind of player, right?
Dame, yeah, he would never make it in the league. So that's our favorite number 44 today and 44 days out from the start of college football. We'll be here. Now, we've talked that we got to have the disclaimer because people are like, oh, well, it's 51 days for Vanderbilt and Tennessee. But there is a game the week before in college football that starts. So we'll take all we can get
week
for college football.
Egg.
Is it still week zero?
I believe so. Yeah, they call it week zero.
Didn't high school football do week zero and it confused everyone?
Yeah, it almost felt like a preseason week when they called it that.
Well, yeah, and I was on a tirade for years. It can't be week zero if you're playing the first week of the year, right? I mean, what is the, if you played it, is it week minus one if you play it the week earlier?
Right.
I mean, that was always a pet peeve.
So what are we doing now? We're arena ball's over, successful season. What are we doing now?
Just trying to figure out what I'm going to do this fall. If it's going to be TSU football again. I've done that for like 14 years
right.
and high school stuff and just sort of last week I wasn't going to do a dang thing. I guarantee you, I'm done. I'm getting divorced. I'm moving to the country. I'm going to raise pigs. I am done with everybody and everything.
Do you need a buyer?
He just bought a pig.
Really?
I did. It's already in my freezer.
Okay.
One of the greatest investments of all time.
It's not a pet pig, apparently.
No, it's not.
So you're buying for pets.
No, I'm not buying. I'm just – that was just first thing came to my head.
Listen, if you're about it, Greg, I'm about it.
Yeah.
All right?
Yeah. So you have a pig in your freezer.
Yeah, named him Skillet, and he tasted great on the skillet last Saturday.
I mean, you must have a big freezer or a small pig.
Yeah, that's what I said.
Yeah.
That's what I said. Big freezer.
So, or small pig.
No. The pig was 100 pounds.
No, pig was roughly over 250 a little bit, but I split it down the spine with a buddy of mine. So I bought the hog for $100, and he gave me 50. So then we paid the processing fee and split it right down the spine.
And that's something?
Got a pork roast, got half rack of ribs, pork chops, pork steaks. Tenderloin.
All right, let me ask you this.
Okay.
Have you ever eaten pig's feet?
I have not. I've heard they're delicious.
Have you?
Never.
You know,
never.
What's the Gerst House used to have pig's feet. I mean, it's really good. You ever eaten pig's snout?
No, I have not. You?
No, my neighbor says it's good, too.
Yeah?
She's from Honduras. She said it's delicious.
I'm not eating pig's feet.
How about...
I'd be like,
how about mountain oysters? Have you ever eaten?
No,
you have any?
No.
You have any of that part of the pig in your freezer?
And you wonder why you're sick all the time.
I don't eat these things.
Oh, okay.
Have you ever had mountain oysters?
Mountain oysters?
Yeah.
No.
Oh, okay. I just make sure.
I don't want hepatitis.
Or you get pregnant? I don't know.
I don't want that nonsense. No.
Oh man.
So you should have brought some in for Mr. Pogue today.
I should have. Yeah. Pork chops next time.
Oh wow.
Yeah, and you're big.
Now, I've heard the side of beef, right?
Yeah.
Coach Bubba Spears, every year he does one, and he gives me the piece that's the very best piece that takes 14 hours to cook.
Tenderloin?
No, yeah.
The pork butt?
No, I'm talking about cow now.
Yeah. Oh, I thought you were talking about a pig. I was like, wait a minute.
No.
I don't have no idea.
Yeah.
They serve it at McDonald's?
The short rib? Yeah, they do. Well, half of what's in there is cow. I don't know what the other half is.
The McDonald's, I'll do. You know, it's funny how Dr. Crane knows you, but I always laugh at the story you got because you were the first reporter to go down, or were you the first reporter to go down? When the Oilers were going to move to Tennessee, didn't the banner send you down?
No,
to Houston?
In 95, Jeff Legwald went the last year. In the last year they were in Houston was 96.
Right.
The banner didn't send me until the referendum passed that they were for sure coming here.
Okay.
That referendum passed on a Monday, first Monday of August, and I was on a plane to Houston the next day in 96, the last year. Jeff Legwald, with the Tennessean, they put him there a whole year ahead of it, anticipating it. And so he got a head start on me with John McClain, okay? And so I had to, when I walked through the door, Legwald and McClain owned Jeff and Floyd, okay? They had, there was a wall built around them.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, oh, yeah, and that's good. I mean, that's what they were down there before. So what I had to make, I didn't know that's where you were taking me, but in 96, Mike McClure was the president, and he is the one, along with Bredesen, that moved the team here, right? Okay. They, Bredesen, Bud, Mike McClure, they met at the Chicago O'Hare, Hilton, you know, and started really? That. That was the first meeting between them. They didn't want to do it here. They all flew up to Chicago and met at the Hilton there and about moving it here.
Wow.
And so I was so far behind on the football side. And there's a guy named Mark Berman, who's still on Fox in Houston, the most competitive sports anchor guy I've ever seen. I mean, he worked as a beat writer, but he was a TV guy, and we hooked up. So they on the football news here, it didn't resonate because who's the third? I don't even care now who the second string quarterback or third string. I don't care now,
right.
Much less then. But all the news that was breaking in Nashville was about the move. Where are they going to put it? Remember, they put it. They were going to be in Bellevue,
right?
Yeah. At first, and I found out through Mike McClure that it wasn't big enough. Right? And so we called Bud Adams at 7 o'clock in the morning. We're afternoon paper. And I was told I could never call Bud, but I was never told that no one else on our staff could call Bud. So Jeff Wilkinson, the news guy, I had him call, told him, and so Bud, and I'm on the phone with him. And what Bud at 7 o'clock in the morning just –
yeah.
I mean, oh, yeah.
Already going.
Already going, man. I mean, there's not much I can repeat of what he said about that mistake. They'd had a press conference.
Wow.
And moved dirt out there and everything, and they just found out it wasn't big enough to put the facility in. That's why they moved it to Metro Center. And
look,
so Dave Pearson at the time, you got me telling stories now. Dave Pearson at the time, he's been with the Seahawks forever.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
He was here. He called me up because him and Legwald and McLean, they were buddies, and that's fine. Mm-hmm. Okay, I had to try to get into that. I was a year behind. And so with McClure, so he calls me up just cussing me out. I told you never to call Bud. And I go, I have never called Bud before. What are you talking about?
Oh, my goodness. And there it began. There was the run there. All right, we got to take a break. You know what breaks are in radio?
Yeah. Oh, but you're not doing a very good job teasing into them. Right? What's coming up next?
I have no idea.
That's.
About I just know you're here telling stories. Not Jeff Fisher and George at 9:30?
Theoretically.
So
he's out in Montana somewhere. I called him last night. It's like 10 o'clock, and he was fishing.
Fly fishing,
yeah.
But it's still light out there.
Yeah, I know, but it's – I'm going,
he
goes, what are you doing? Hold on, I got a cast. And I told him to,
yeah.
I don't want to hear that.
You don't put me on hold. All right, we got more with Greg Pogue. 10 o'clock, we got who?
Eddie Tagseth, midfielder of Nashville SC.
All right, 10:15, SNL funny man James Austin Johnson's going to join us. He does the Trump on Saturday Night Live.
Are you kidding?
He's from Nashville.
Oh, I know. His father, Michael Johnson, the number two guy at Trevecca.
That's him.
Yeah, Michael Johnson.
Yeah.
Oh, and wow. He's coming on?
Yep, he's coming on.
Oh, what an amazing talent.
He's absolutely hilarious. I mean, the Trump impressions, I don't care if you love Trump or hate Trump, his impressions are perfect.
I asked him if he voted for Trump.
Oh,
because,
gosh.
It's
not, job security for 4 years.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
as long as Trump's alive, he's got a job.
He's got it. All right, we're live at the Omni National Hotel. Dr. Crane in for Chase McCabe. Greg Pogue, special guest. Jeff Fisher will join us at 9:30. Maybe. We don't know what's happening. Stick right here. We're live from the Omni National Hotel right here on 102.5 The Game. All right, welcome back here to the Chase and Big Joe Show live at the Omni National Hotel in downtown Nashville. We love coming down to the Omni National Hotel because we feel important. At 10 o'clock today on the show, Dr. Crane, we have?
Nashville SC midfielder Eddie Tagseth.
Will you give me some questions to ask?
Absolutely.
At 10:15, SNL funny man James Austin Johnson will join us. He's at Zany's this weekend. I'm telling you, go see him at Zany's. I saw him last year. So, so funny. Our special guest at 10 o'clock hour, the world-famous Greg Pogue.
9 o'clock hour.
Is it the 9 o'clock hour?
Yeah.
I'm on Eastern time.
That's okay.
Can I do a shout out?
Yeah.
Please.
I'm a proud grandfather, right?
Absolutely.
I mean, changes your life. I mean, immediately.
And yes.
My daughter Grace outkicked her coverage with my son-in-law Kyle. He listens. He's listening now. Texted me. So shout out to my son-in-law Kyle.
Well, okay, but talk about your granddaughter for a second.
Oh, Alice Rose.
Yes.
she's a little already.
Ball of fun.
Already. I mean, she is. And she, yeah, she's a good one. She's a pogue, you can tell.
And, you know.
And a tant.
How old is she now? 20 months?
Yeah, 20 right months. There. Yeah. Right. December 19th.
So mine is 8 months. And people always ask, well, what's it like? It's not emotional. It's overwhelming. Right?
Oh, yeah.
Because in that little, my little granddaughter, I see my grandpa, I see my mom. I mean, I see generations in her. And it's a surreal feeling, man.
Well, in mine, it's my baby daughter's baby girl, right? Because
yeah.
Your daughter's always your girl, right? And
yes.
And also a large part of that, we were talking about, you know, during the 90s and the 2000s, I was gone a lot. Right? I mean, the home games were road games when I was in Houston and Memphis.
Right.
And so when they were at that age, Robin did a great job with them because I was gone a lot. But, yeah, it's a life changer. Grandbaby. Wow.
Yeah. Fisher talked about his grandkids.
He's got seven.
And it's just.
And I told him, you know, they found out what causes that.
I mean. I love it. Dr. Crane, the floor is yours for this legend.
Yeah. I mean, Greg Pogue. What keeps you ticking, especially in the Nashville media and sports market?
Well, the Cats have just been, you know, we saw earlier the first iteration of it, this league. I mean, during their run at Bridgestone Arena, they averaged 11,900 a game. Okay,
yeah.
That was their average, right?
Right.
And we remember the Andy Kelly, Corey Fleming, Daryl Hammond, the hot tubs. The hot tubs are coming back, and you're gonna be in neutral corners of the hot tub. I'll just tell you that right now. But we're bringing back the hot tubs. But that, and I don't, you know, doing daily radio doesn't really. I don't need, and that's just why I like what Chase and Joe are doing with, you know, if you want me to break down the two deep depth chart for the Tennessee Titans, I'm not going to do it. I don't care, you know, fine. I'll watch their games. I reported on them. I followed them every day for 20 whatever years. I just, you know, I just want to be a fan of things.
Yeah. Nice.
And, you know, I'm going to tailgate parties and doing that. And
what's your tailgate party line?
When
we come to your
this
tailgates.
Is so proud of them. So, we'll eat your food, drink your liquor, and flirt with your women.
That's great.
Oh that my goodness! Great. What we're talking with Greg Pogue? What story do you remember that you broke that you're most proud of? Did you ever break a story?
Yeah, you think. Oh, by the way, the Tennessee Sports Writers Association Hall of Fame induction banquet is tonight in Cumberland. Of course, Mike Organ, me, we're members now, and he before me. But Jim Wyatt's going in tonight.
Is he?
Yeah,
is he
really? Into the Tennessee Sports Writers Hall of Fame.
Typical Jim, doesn't tell anybody.
No, yeah. I know. And then Johnny Ballpark Franks is going in, longtime SID at TSU.
I was going to say, they have good hot dogs.
Yeah.
Ballpark Franks.
Don't get him started.
Oh, okay. Never mind.
Johnny Ballpark's going in, huh?
Yeah. He'll be there. You'll be able to smell him from across the room.
I guess there must not be a sporting event that he get credentials to where he's going to do nothing going on tonight.
But though, I guess the Ron Mercer story really changed the trajectory of Vanderbilt athletics.
94, 95?
Yeah, 90, yeah, right through there. Yeah, because that was – I was the Vanderbilt beat writer, and, of course, Ron Mercer at Good Pasture, Drew Maddox had already a year earlier had gone to Vanderbilt. His senior year, he went to Oak Hill Academy, and he was going to commit to Vanderbilt. I actually was flying on a private charter – to the McDonald's All-American game in St. Louis. I was going to break that story and about him committing to Vanderbilt.
Okay.
He was going to Vanderbilt, okay? And I got a call from some guy named Jerry DiNardo, and he says, Ron Mercer's not getting in. And there was a lady there who Rick George at the time, who was now the athletic director at Colorado, of course, the Dion thing, and they could not get him in. The schools, back then there were four schools. You had to apply to each individual, the four different schools, and be accepted at each school at Vanderbilt. and there was not one that he could make. He was NCAA qualified, but he was not Vanderbilt qualified. And he wanted to commit. So I have the story that he's going to be denied Vanderbilt, right? Okay. And that he was going to Kentucky. All right. But that's a little bit – that's the second story that I broke was about him going to Kentucky. So DiNardo gives me the heads up that he's not getting in. DiNardo knew how to play the system. During that time, there were so many players that were coming in here. Corey Chavis's, Darrell Franklin, Jamie Duncan.
Right.
All of these national recruits were coming in because they figured out how to work the system, massage the system. Conversely, Jan Van Bredekhoff, the men's basketball coach, did not. I like Jan, but he just didn't have the personality to do it.
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah.
And Jan's a friend. But so I found out that he was not going to be accepted. He ended up going to Kentucky. I had that story. He had not told Kevin O'Neill at Tennessee yet that he was picking Kentucky over Tennessee. And I had it. And so at midnight, I have that story. I'm not going to enter it into the computer system at the Banner because it's shared by the Tennessean. And so I waited until all of the Tennessee products for the day came off. The first one comes off at midnight. The next one comes off at 2 o'clock, the state edition at midnight. And that way I didn't want to put it in the system. I wrote it. Ron calls me at 2 o'clock in the morning, says, can you wait? I haven't told anybody yet. And I go, I sort of told a white lie. I said, it's already been the press is already running on it.
Yeah.
Well, they hadn't, but that's what I told him. I said, it's already in. And the reason I didn't put it in the system is because, you know, theoretically, we had a joint operating agreement, the Banner and the Tennessean had a joint operating agreement where they shared everything except editorial, right? Advertising, circulation, printing. We were all in the same building. We were competitors, right? But and so I wouldn't put it in because I didn't trust them that they could get into our system, you know, and see our budgets and all of that. And so our IT director time, this is the early part of all that, right?
Yeah.
And I go, he says, they can't get in. They can't get in. They don't know what we're doing. They don't know what we're doing. I go, well, I'll be damned, because we sure the hell can get in there. So I knew what their budget was. Yeah, I knew what they were doing.
Wow.
And then the fallout of him, and also R.A. Dickey was not eligible for Vanderbilt, went to Tennessee, obviously, out of NBA, and he was went on to be all SEC academic, but he couldn't get in. So they put together, they being Tommy Frist, the richest man in the state of Tennessee right now. I mean, he eats the Ingrams for lunch. And and him and John Rich, and they had a panel, and they brought in, and we had to essentially willingly testify in front of them. And at that moment, they changed how, because of the fallout of those stories, and they changed the academic and entry requirements at Vanderbilt because of it.
I mean, I knew part of that, but I didn't know the last part of that.
Yeah.
Are you still loved over at Vandy? If I'm a Vandy fan, I'd love you.
No, I don't know if they love me or not.
Because you opened the door. I mean, you imagine Ron Mercer to go on to Vanderbilt. I mean, although he won a national championship in 96 at Kentucky, but – I mean, that would have changed.
Well, he was going to play with Drew. You know, him and Drew grew up together.
Yeah.
You know, and the Maddox family had adopted Ron, you know, when he was a seventh and eighth grader.
Yeah.
And he was headed to Stratford, right? And ended up, you know, going to Good Pasture with the Maddoxes.
Look at you, man. Proud of you.
Knowledge.
Can you tell us who threw the tennis ball at Dwayne Chinsis?
Yes.
In,
will
that?
I?
You don't remember
can
this.
I? Was yes. Florida, will I? No.
Vanderbilt, Florida was
not until
ranked,
that guy dies.
Okay. Florida was ranked. This is a quick basketball story. Believe it or not, Memorial Gym back in the late 80s and 90s, packed.
Oh, yeah.
Loud,
probably
packed.
So.
They're playing Florida. Dwayne, it's like January of 90, I think it is, or 89. Vanderbilt's going to beat Florida. And Florida's, were they number one? Were they top
they
five?
They were there, yeah.
Great team.
Yes.
And Vanderbilt's up, and somebody from the crowd throws a tennis ball at Dwayne. There's a story behind the tennis ball, why they threw a tennis ball. I don't know why. but the ref penalized Vandy.
Well, it was John Clockerty was the referee, long famous referee forever and ever and ever. And so, yeah, Dwayne Schitz's was at the foul line and gets dinged with a tennis ball, yep. Right? And it was a hell of a throw, by the way.
I mean,
yeah, it was. And the
– he couldn't make that throw now, but back then
well, but, you know, and the referee, this is, I was actually not covering it at the time, but I was there. Well, I was, but it wasn't. Mark McGee was the beat writer. I was there doing sidebars or whatever. But I actually was the one that asked the referee, you get a – one person, right? I was the pool reporter on that.
Yeah.
And so I asked him, I said, how did you know that that was thrown by a Vanderbilt fan and not a Florida fan?
Great question.
I mean, how did you determine that? Because the technical fouls ended up determining the game.
That's right.
Those free throws.
Because he made them.
Yep. And, well, he made his, and then somebody else stepped in and made the others. And I said, how did you know it was a Vanderbilt fan that threw the – and he says – and he looked and he goes, I didn't. So you assumed it was a Vanderbilt fan. So if a Vanderbilt fan goes to a Florida game and throws a ball, you're going to give a technical on the Florida fan, right? And it didn't make any sense.
This interview's over.
Yeah, Greg Pogue putting the stamp on things.
What a great story. All right, we're going to take a break.
And I do know who threw it.
Yeah, me too.
For money. One of these days, I'm going to sell that.
It's kind of like that scene out of Seinfeld where they spit at spring training with the Yankees player.
Keith Hernandez?
Yeah, and it comes off George Costanza, and it ricochets off towards Kramer.
Kind of.
It's the same situation.
Yeah. Well, the thing about it is, it wasn't just some knucklehead that threw the ball. It was a prominent city leader.
We'll tell you during the break.
Okay. Yeah.
Dr. Craig. All right, we will take a break. Come back. Allegedly joined by Jeff Fisher.
Allegedly.
All right, we're at the Omni National Hotel, right at the Chase and Big Joe Show, 102.5 The Game. All right, welcome back here to the Chase and Big Joe Show, live at the Omni National Hotel. Dr. Crane in for Chase, who's on assignment. Greg Pogue is with us. Joined now on the phone in from the great state of Montana, none other than former Titans coach and the commissioner of AF1, Mr. Jeff Fisher. Coach, how are you today? And thank you for joining us.
I'm doing great this morning. How are you guys doing?
We're doing most well. Greg Pogue has forced his way onto our show today. But we like his attitude, though, Coach.
Has he been okay so far?
Greg.
Telling stories.
Minutes.
Okay. Well, good. Let's get started.
Greg is resting up. How are you doing, Coach, after the last few months?
I'm doing great.
You're working 18 hours a day?
No, those were in the old days. I was down the street. Don't do that anymore. But close to it. But I'm doing great, man. We got up here and hope everybody had a great holiday weekend. I did so with the family and happened to time up with kind of the end of the season. And, we're getting started on all those things that you do during the off season, in whatever league it is, but we got some big plans, and we're kind of excited about watching it all fall into place. I know you got a great opportunity to see really behind the scenes what was going on at the championship game, and appreciate everything you did for us up there to make that thing go off as good as we possibly could.
Well, thank you very much. I mean, honor Greg getting Chase and myself involved. That was great. But I really like, Coach, when we got back to town, how many people reached out and listened to the game on 102.5 that weekend and really bought into the Cats. And the momentum, the bounce off of that, Coach, is I don't know if you can measure that monetarily-wise, promotion-wise, but it's damn good. I'll tell you that right now.
Well, it is, and we knew it was there. We knew, the tradition, the history, the second generation of indoor fans, namely Cat fans, were there. We just had to pull them out, and so now I know they're equally as excited, for what's ahead. So yeah, it was. It ended up. I mean, I don't think it could have ended up any better for us. You know, Coach Arbet did a great job with the guys, and the guys, you know, they fought and as they usually you would expect them to do and get into the championship game. And it was a good team that they faced. Obviously, Albany was a good team. But I was really proud of the players, the staff, and the way everything went out.
Jeff Fisher's with us here on the Chase and Big Joe Show. Jeff, obviously, the Cats go to the final game of the season. But yet, what's next for AF1 as a whole? Is it expanding a few teams here or there? What is it?
Well, that's where it starts. I mean, we've got you know, we've been speaking with numerous entities right now, investment groups across the country, and you know, we've got we released you know, the fact that we have basically pretty much come to terms, and not, I don't want to say come to terms, but have worked out the agreement and the specifics with several new franchises. We're going to continue to do so. We're having talks, you know, pretty much through the end of this week and next week with a couple, and we might have several more to you know, to release. So that's the thing, expansion number one, and then just working to make sure that your network partners and you know, are all in place. And then we, you know, obviously we've got a lot to do from a league-wide sponsorship, and then we want to reach out to each one of the clubs and make sure that at the league level we're doing everything we can, you know, just to help them through the off season so we can make 26 be really something special.
Well, Jeff, they've pointed it. It's my turn to talk to you. So I get the number one question I get asked right now coming out of this season, the last regular season game and then the playoff game in Clarksville, F&M Bank, a partnership with the Predators that with Sean Henry, Michelle Kennedy, they were up there supporting us in that organization. And Nashville was such a great fit, too. We got a nice problem to have. You know, is it Municipal Auditorium? Is it Clarksville? I know we're not going to make any commitments now, but we came out of Clarksville on a heater, man. Those last two games up there, we really hit the mark.
Well, we did, and you know, it was interesting. You know, we got a taste of it last year, and as you and I talked, and you know, over the off season and everything about the opportunity up there. But boy, when we got up there for the first one, things, they just opened their arms. And then for us to go ahead and things to fall the way they did and then come back the following week in the playoff game, it was remarkable. The support, the enthusiasm, everything that went down was really cool. So we is there a venue between Clarksville and Nashville? We kind of split the difference.
With Springfield High School, I don't know.
Yes.
There you go. So, but anyway, it was terrific. I mean, they met us with open arms, and we did. I mean, we have a great relationship with Municipal and had some, you know, we had a couple of really, really great events there this past year early in the season. But the Clarksville opportunity is real, and something that's a good, as you said, Greg, it's a great problem to have.
Former Titans coach Jeff Fisher is with us, the commissioner of AF1. Coach, I know you're up in Montana. It's kind of a getaway. When you were coaching in the NFL, could you ever truly get away from football, even though you're in Montana or wherever you are? But can you ever get away from it?
Well, this is where, you know, once the off-season program was over and we were done with OTAs or mini camps, whatever it was at that time, this is where we came. And we had a few weeks, and then, you know, as that date got closer and closer, it was kind of like, oh, man, I'm going to have to go disappear for 6 months. I may make the most of this. But, yeah, you can get away. I mean, it's that, I don't know, I haven't followed things as close as most people, but this is the time of the year where you're going to look at your caller ID and make sure it's not that midnight call that you get where you got a problem, you know. And so this is, you know, fortunately, I think everybody got through it. I don't think anybody blew their fingers off with the 4th of July or anything, all those things that potentially can happen. But as clubs are getting ready to, you know, I don't know, rookies reporting early and getting ready, you know, to report for camp, it makes it a short summer. But and we've had a lot of great memories up here as a family prior to going back to work.
Jeff Fisher's with us here on the Chase and Big Joe Show, the Bill Dance of the Chase and Big Joe Show. Let's put it that way.
Yeah.
Straight up. I mean, the outdoorsman himself. Just going into talking about expansion earlier, going where, I guess, trying to get to the point of where would you have tryouts for, I guess, the AF1 if you don't have, you know, places in place yet for expansion teams?
Well, I mean, we've, you know, the process is, it varies. You know, you've got investment groups that will reach out to us. You have different cities that are represented by investment groups. And then, you know, we kind of take a look at it. And as we all know, what creates the problem for you know, for these, you know, these leagues is that is travel. And so we've got, you know, we're looking and from a proximity standpoint and travel, it becomes a priority. So we've got, you know, as we said, we've got a couple teams that are going to help that out already in place, and we'll hope to get a couple more. I don't know what that perfect number is for 26, but I would think it would be in that 2 to 4 range, maybe a little bit higher, depending on how things unfold over the next month or so. But we have some time. And then, you know, it's up to the individual clubs, you know, to hire, you know, general managers and, you know, head coaches, and then put their roster together. But, you know, these things always have a way of falling into place. There's a talent pool out there that's really pretty impressive, and it's fun. It was fun for me over the last 2 years just to, you know, watch clubs build and rebuild or you know, start over during the off season and put together very, very competitive teams with great young, you know, players and personalities and kids that just are passionate about the indoor game.
All right, I got a question. All right. Your sons are out there. You're out there. The Madison River flows by. Key features of the Madison River for trout fishing. The Madison River boasts a high density of trout with estimates ranging from 2,500 to 5,000 per mile. So you can't help but catch fish there.
Well, you know, this is true. I'll give you an example. Last night, the fish decided to take a day off. We went from, you know, a dozen fish after 10 p.m. to not even a look. And so we're trying to figure out what happened. Did they bump the water? What did they do? So we'll get it figured out. But there's a lot of different opportunities and places to do this. Madison River is a beautiful place. It's a storied river. It's really a cool place to, you know, to learn to fly fish, if that's what you're interested in doing. A lot of people come up here just to do that, and it's a beautiful place, and there's some big fish.
Isn't it funny, Coach, how somebody who never fishes can tell you how to fish?
Who, me?
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
You want to look at my phone? Hold on. Jeff, hold on a minute, okay? I'm pulling plaz. Hold on just a minute. Jeff, tell him I can fish.
Greg, while you're doing whatever you're doing, I'm going to tell you a story. Last night, we're sliding in any place. We're on the river, and there's a couple places where, you know, they have a reputation for being better to fish than others. And so we were waiting for the right time, wait for the sun to, you know, go down and all that kind of stuff. And car drives by, and this guy looks out the window. He goes, hey, just letting you know, we just saw a bear cross the road here about 100 yards back. Behind us, and we looked at him and we said, cool. And what he was doing was he was trying to chase us out, to scare us out, by saying that there was a bear so he could go slide in and fish the run that we were standing in. And so we called his bluff. But that's you're always competing at anything you're doing, and if you gotta bend the rules. I think that's the first time I've had somebody say, hey, man, there's a bear here. You need to leave before, you know. And we just looked at him and laughed. And, yeah. So,
good
anyway,
for you,
that's
Coach.
What happens sometimes up here. Yeah.
Good for you. I mean, well, thank you.
The bear can catch you, but you just don't want him to eat you.
That's advice I'm going to use the rest of my life. Coach, thank you for doing this. Enjoy your time up there. And, again, the success of what you guys did, you and Greg and everyone for the National Cats, it was so much fun. A lot of credit goes to the guy sitting across from me and the guy on the phone right now. So thank you, Coach, for everything you did.
Well, Joe, send a shout-out to Chase, too, because, I mean, the two of you guys did a great job, and it was really enjoyed to spend a couple days with you. So we'll talk soon. Thank you.
All right, thanks. Coach Jeff Fisher with us right now, the commissioner of Arena Football, while Greg Pogue shows us pictures of little bluegills he catches in Percy Priest. We'll come back. Greg, it's a little time with us. Nick, at 10, who do we have?
Eddie Tagseth, Nashville SC midfielder.
Yeah, and at 10:15, James Austin Johnson.
By 10 o'clock, you'll remember that name, won't you?
Yeah, he will.
From SNL, joining
into his brain.
Write it down.
Back with more. This is the Chase and Big Joe Show, 102.5 The Game. Back here at the Chase and Big Joe Show, live at the Omni Nashville Hotel, the beautiful, elegant Omni Nashville Hotel. Dr. Crane in for Chase, who's on assignment. Greg Pogue here.
What is that assignment?
He Chase got certified LinkedIn cloud storage and architecture. And so he took a week off. He goes and he does like coffee talks about businesses, about building their business with architecture and cloud storage.
He was at a coffee shop Monday in Clarksville. Is that right?
Dixon County.
Dixon County, excuse me.
Today he's at a coffee shop in Rayon City.
Yeah.
So he gives little talks. You should
sign
up.
Are you serious?
Yeah, it's pretty impressive, man.
Do you not see the LinkedIn? He got certified in all the platforms.
Next time you go to his office, Greg, go in there and just look at that back wall. It just has plaques of cloud storage.
I think he's got 7 plaques from LinkedIn.
Yep.
Cloud storage, architecture, IT, cybersecurity.
Well, I just thought he was just a goofy guy. He's pretty smart.
Intelligent.
Yeah. I know.
Talk about intelligence to a whole nother level.
He actually... his first gig was our producer, wasn't it?
It was.
Yeah.
The fact that he's still around is amazing for that.
Oh, he's perfect for it. By the way, I do want to say this while we're talking about Cromwell, from Bud to you and Chase and all the people who produce the games, Jake and Newt and all of that, and you and having you guys come up and do the championship game and
great.
Be a part of the owners group and hanging out with it and everything and just seeing where this league is going. And Sean especially and Jeff Kolb. Our partnership couldn't have been better.
That's great.
With
we
the
loved
cat,
it.
And we found a home with you guys and vice versa. And it was really and we want to grow. We want to have a network with, you know, you guys being the flagship.
I think the time frame of late March to is perfect.
Uh-huh.
I mean, it's perfect. Just jam every weekend with Arena Ball. It's perfect.
Well, that's what we're looking at the schedule now. And ideally, you'd like to back it out. You would have the weekend before the 4th be your semifinal games. You take off the 4th. You have 2 weeks, and then the Saturday, Sunday out of the 4th, wherever that is, be the championship game. And then you back out. It just depends on how many teams we're going to have. We're going to have 10, 12, 14 teams. And I know that, you know, Jeff didn't mention, I think there has been several public reports of where we're going to be. I don't know if I'm speaking out of turn up on this, but Cincinnati is very much in play.
Good.
With Corpus Christi moving there, which would be a great rivalry for us.
We've talked about this, but and you brought it up, Huntsville, Alabama.
Oh, Huntsville. Oh, yeah. I mean, you could look at targets, and I'm not speaking out of turn. I don't want to get my hand slapped, but Huntsville would be a perfect. They have history there. The Vipers won the O Arena League. They have the Von Braun Center. They, you know, Conference USA plays their championship, their tournaments down there. It's people, you can win money on this bet. What is the biggest city, population-wise, in the state of Alabama? It's not Birmingham.
Muscle Shoals.
No, it's Daphne. No, Dolphin Island. I don't know. No, it's Huntsville. And people don't realize. And then you got Atlanta, Birmingham, Memphis, Nashville, Chattanooga, and you're sort of – and it's a – booming city. So you give me Huntsville. Yeah. I'm not reporting anything. I just think it'd be a great place for a franchise.
It's like the old Southern League minor league baseball.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So in that city,
Huntsville, Birmingham, mm-hmm. Knoxville, Memphis, Nashville.
Yep.
You covered those games, didn't you?
No.
Question for you, Joe. We had the other day was National Dive Bar. What's your favorite dive bar?
Oh gosh, I don't know.
Floribama.
Floribama, yeah, the original Floribama, not to where it exploded. When I lived down there in the mid-'80s, it was still, you could walk on one, it was, you know, Floribama, it's actually the state line went right through the honky-tonk.
Right.
And I was hanging out in there. On one side, you could buy liquor all night, and the other side, you closed at 11. So they just, you could have 1 foot in Alabama and 1 foot in Florida, and hanging out there. Jimmy Buffett, Linda Ronstadt, Ken Stabler was there every night. And I lived down there in the mid-'80s. And, yeah, I saw Floribama when it was what it was, a dive bar. It's just a big tourist thing now.
Is it really? I haven't been in years.
Really? You ought to get out of your comfort zone sometime.
I can't. I'm in my ankle bracelet.
Yeah, I know. And that Speedo.
The
Speedo.
Bedazzled one?
The yes. Speedo doesn't fit either.
He's got
either.
A Speedo and a bedazzled little ankle bracelet.
Ankle bracelet, so I can't get out of anywhere.
It's cute.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it.
Yeah, hey, thanks for having me.
You know, we love you. Thanks for all you've done for us. And the Arena Executive of the Year, that's a big deal.
That is.
So congratulations
Thank
for
you.
That.
Thank you. Thanks, guys.
Yeah.
Thank
you. Appreciate it. There's 168 hours in a week, and you're working 140.
Is there any oatmeal left?
Plenty. Plenty.
For now. I'm too lazy to get up, because I'm going to have to go to the bathroom. Yeah. Greg, thanks, brother.
All right, see you guys.
All right, Greg Pogue with us, the executive of the year in arena football. Nice honor. All right, Dr. Crane, who's coming up next?
Eddie Tagseth with Nashville Soccer Club after their 5-2 win last night in the U.S. Open Cup. Headed to semifinals for the first time ever in club history.
This is your segment to shine.
Okay.
This is everything you've ever worked for in the next few minutes.
Thank you.
All right. This is the Chase and Big Joe Show live at the Omni Nashville Hotel right here on 102.5 The Game.